Are you an ambitious creative, but maybe struggle with overthinking everything, perfectionism, doing what you said you were going to do? Listen, I get it, especially when you go into the online space to share your art, your work, your services, your products, all the things. It can be super intimidating and overwhelming with all the different things, all the different lanes that you could go in. I really, really believe that we don't need to maybe learn more. I think we need to take more action on what we already know we should be doing. That is why we created Unconventional Leaders Academy. It is a bi-weekly mastermind call where we jump on Zoom with one another, hold each other accountable, call out the greatness in each other. So if you want to connect with other like-minded unconventional leaders who are going against the grain and are going to make some crazy progress this year in 2021, head over to heatherparody.com/masterminds. Again, that is heatherparody.com/masterminds. We'll see you over there.
I knew better and I still did it. So, you know, it's okay. It doesn't define who we are. It's just something that happened and we learn from it and we grow from it. And that's life.
I've always felt invisible.
I was born with cerebral palsy.
I have always felt small.
I was told not to take risks.
I may be blind, but I teach people how to see.
And I'm proud to be an individual.
This podcast is for you, the unconventional leader.
Maybe you are the one that everyone discounted.
Maybe you struggle with fear and self-doubt.
We are here to empower the next generation of self-starters to step up.
Use their voice
and make an impact in this world.
Your numbers don't lie to you. They are telling you a story. Y'all ain't ready for this today. We are talking about something that a lot of people want to avoid. Even if you have a business and you know that your numbers are super important, you know, obviously bringing money is, well, that's business, right? There is still so much shame sometimes wrapped around the topic of money. Sometimes we're avoiding it. And the truth is, many business owners don't really know their numbers. Why is that? Today, we have Melissa Houston with us with such an incredibly fun conversation, if you can believe it, around budgeting and your business. But before we get into that, if this is your first time listening, I just wanted to introduce myself. My name is Heather Parody. I am your host. This show's for unconventional leaders, those who are thinking outside of the box, going against the grain. I call you guys ambitious creatives because, well, that's kind of what I am too. But what comes with that sometimes is a lot of vision, a lot of running and going and doing things, throwing things against a wall, seeing what sticks. But what gets put on the back burner sometimes is these things that we think are very mundane, may not be as flashy and exciting. But you know what? Today's guest, Melissa, who has spent 20 years as an accountant, she says, you know what, guys? Money's kind of sexy and it's a fun thing to pay attention to. And it's one thing we got to pay attention to, whether you like it or not. You know what I'm talking about? Today, we dig into why we shy away from our finances. What is at the root of all that? What's going on with our money mindset issues and self-sabotage? And practically, what do we spend too much money on as business owners? And how do we budget when there's such a fluctuation of our income month to month? Make sure you connect with Melissa. She's super cool over at melissahoustoncpa.com. That is linked in the show notes. But before we get started, if you have a business owner friend who recently has confided in you that the money thing is it's hard. Maybe there's a mindset thing going on. Maybe they're a little bit confused with their finances. This is the perfect episode to send to them. Make sure you take a screenshot of it, drop it in the DMs, slide into those DMs. And if you're old school, you can call them IMs. That works too, y'all. But enough of this chattering. Let's go ahead and get into this, releasing shame around money and looking at your business finances with Melissa Houston.
Well, it's funny because when I initially graduated from high school and started my career, I was a social worker. So becoming an accountant was my second profession. And that happened within about 6 years.
Those are two different worlds.
Very different worlds. And it was kind of a very ambiguous decision to become an accountant. It seemed like the responsible choice. My older sister was an accountant. So I thought, okay, if I'm going to make money, I'm going to do it, you know, through accounting. So I learned, you know, very quickly that life as an accountant wasn't exactly what I wanted to do. I mean, it was interesting to learn about money, learn about numbers. It was a very valuable skill to have, but I missed that social work aspect of it. So that's why I created my own business to intertwine the two, where I felt like I'm bringing my social work skills, the non-judgmental, tell me about what's going on with you. And I'm combining the very tangible skills of, let me show you how to manage your money, because that is a skill. I mean, you know, just going back to the intro and what you mentioned, money is the most loaded topic, the most emotional topic that I have ever discussed with anybody. And there are a lot of money secrets with people.
Absolutely.
So when I take my social work skills and I combine my money skills, I find it's a really good combination. I can really help people with that.
It's such a gift, because you think about like the sides of the brain that you use with like a skill set with, you know, relating to people and kind of the heart-centeredness of social work. And then two, just the very more analytical and organized part of accounting, the fact that you're able to blend those two pieces together, that's a gift. that's amazing. It's amazing. One of the things I thought was interesting about your story, and not to put words in your mouth, correct me if I'm wrong, what I heard was that there was a lot of resistance around starting your own business.
Yes.
For a while. And it took you a little bit.
It took me a really long time. I think I'm 10 years in the making here. So what happened was, you know, when I realized that I, you know, in my career of accounting and working the 9-to-5 cubicle life and crunching numbers at my screen, I realized the best part of my job was the interaction with people, when I was able to talk to them and help them understand. I was dealing with project managers. I was dealing with entrepreneurs. I was dealing with all types of different people. And the common thread that they had when they came to me was that they did not understand what was going on in the business. So they had no idea if their business was profitable, and they had no idea how to figure that out. I knew that I, you know, with the combination of my social work skills and my know-how with the money skills, and also I studied a lot of personal finance as well, I knew this was something that I wanted to do, but I never gave myself enough courage or permission to do it, because I was in a very comfortable government job. By all standards in Ottawa, Canada, if you had this job, it was like the golden ticket, right? You've got a great pension, you've got this, you've got that. Really? Absolutely. So I always felt like I was being ungrateful. Why am I doing this? And I knew something was wrong with me. Like, I knew something was going on, and I wasn't happy. Like, I felt drained every day at work, coming home, and like, I knew work was getting the best of me. I couldn't put my finger on it at the time. And I thought maybe it was because I was overeating. I wasn't taking care of myself. I wasn't exercising. And I started to spend money like crazy. Okay. Like, there was this one year where I burned through $100,000 worth of credit, and I hid $40,000 of that from my husband. And me being the money person, he trusted a lot of what I was saying. So like, I got him to do house improvements, and we installed an in-ground pool and all sorts of ridiculous stuff. And he's like, you know, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't think we can afford this. I'm like, don't worry about it. We can afford it. So I was always out to find something that would make me feel better. And I did feel like I knew what I was doing was wrong. I knew we couldn't afford it. Like, it was $100,000 credit. Like, that's not our money. But I still kept going. And I'm like, what's wrong with me? Like, I know I'm doing this. I know I shouldn't be doing this. The worst part is I knew, but I kept going until finally the credit ran out and the bank was calling, and I had to come clean with my husband. And when I saw that look on his face, like, my husband and I have a very good marriage. We've been together for, you know, 25 years, something like that. And seeing him, I'd never seen him look at me like that before. He was so disappointed. And at that moment, I knew, okay, this has to stop. So I went on this journey of trying to figure out why I did what I did. I'm like, I'm an accountant, I'm a CPA, I knew better. I know, you know, emotions play a factor, but that's all I really knew at that time. So, you know, I would join, like, you know, the gym. I started, you know, working on myself. I started, you know, weight loss goals and, you know, the whole bit. And then I had this health coach who came to me and said, hey, I'm starting this program. I need a couple of students to work on for free. Would you like to join? And I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, it's free. I've got nothing to lose. And I figured it was just going to be another weight loss program that I was going to, you know, completely fail on. That was the first time I ever did coaching with anybody. And I realized, as we peeled back the layers, I'm like, this is really not about the weight. This is not about, you know, what seems to be on the surface. And as we peel back the layers, I started realizing that I wasn't giving that And I knew for 10 years, I had this screaming voice inside of me saying, go do what you're supposed to do. And I kept ignoring it. I realized that it was all connected, right? So once I made the decision to go into that space and say, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to give myself permission. I'm going to try this and I'm going to see what happens. Once I did that, everything changed. It was like, yeah. It was crazy. I mean, of course, I still had the debt that I you know, was working at paying off. Gratefully, I have a good job. And, you know, like I didn't kill myself financially, but I did kill a lot of the trust in my marriage. And I did, you know, I didn't do myself any favors for the last 10 years. It was like I was kind of like giving my best hours at work and I'd come home and I'd be dead, you know, and that's just not the great way to live.
You said so much there. First of all, I just want to acknowledge like the strength and the beauty of your vulnerability. That's one thing that I love when I've been digging into your work and listening to you and your story. I'm like, this is so cool that she's so self-aware and generous enough to share her struggles with the world. Because you can come out of the gates and be like, you know, I have 20 years experience in finances and I'm a badass with this and that or whatever. And, you know, we'd believe you. We'd be like, okay, awesome. Melissa knows what she's talking about because she has all the experience. But the power comes in when you're saying, no, y'all, I knew all this stuff and this is what happened with me. I get it in my heart and my soul. That's what's special about it. So I want to acknowledge you for that. Thank you for that, putting that into the world. But rewinding a little bit, that friction when you were talking about, you know, you had all this stuff going for you. You said, I felt ungrateful, wanting something else. And I've heard our listeners, I've felt it too, say those exact same words that sometimes you feel bad saying, you know what? This has been such a great job for me. This has been such a great career. Am I wrong? Am I selfish? Is it bad for me putting my family through fighting for something else? Looking back now, what is your perspective with that?
You know, that you're, when you say that, it gives me shivers because that's exactly it. Like you feel guilty because you're saying, you know what, like this isn't working for me anymore. And it's really about feeling and filling your need, right? And you feel guilty because you are putting your family in a different type of financial position where, you know, we all know starting a business, it's a lot of money out of the gate, regardless of what you're doing. You need to invest in, you know, learning these different skills. And like, I'm an accountant, I've got a strong business background, but I don't have sales. I don't have marketing. I don't, like, there's a lot of things that I don't have that I had to invest in. These programs are expensive. And I was very honest with my husband at the beginning saying, listen, you know, I'm going to be spending money. Like, are you going to be okay with this? And now we're very open. And so he knows what's going on. I share the information. It goes back and forth. I've got his blessing. I've got his support. Kids are supportive. We don't have as much money to spend. Like the disposable income has gone away, but we're hanging in there. And we're just, you know, and I've never felt better. That's the key. Like I get up in the morning now and I feel excited to help people. And going back to what you said earlier is the reason why I share my story the way I do is because there is a lot of shame and embarrassment and a lot of people carry this money baggage with them. And I really want them to know that, you know what, I knew better and I still did it. So, you know, it's okay. It doesn't define who we are. It's just something that happened and we learn from it and we grow from it. And that's life. We take those opportunities to learn from. And I love to help people through that, going through the transformation of being ashamed and embarrassed. And then learning these skills, because the reality of it is most people don't have these skills, which is why I want to help people and then getting to a place of confidence and know-how.
And sometimes there's embarrassment around not knowing the skills. Like I know, you know, when I first started learning about finances and stuff, I was embarrassed because it felt like there was all these successful entrepreneurs who knew all these different terms and knew how to do all this and that. And you want to almost like prove yourself coming out, like, you know, that I know what I'm doing. I'm strong. I'm a successful business owner. You know, you should take me seriously. And admitting that, you know, you need help in some of these areas, that takes a lot of humility.
Absolutely. And it's funny that you mentioned that, Heather, because I would say 99% of my clients say the exact same thing. Like,
really?
I should know this. I'm so embarrassed that I don't know this. And my answer to that is, listen, you didn't go to school for this. They don't teach you this in school. You went to school, or if you did or you didn't, whatever. However you chose to learn, you learned your craft. And for me, my craft was learning about business finances and personal finances and how to manage them. So I have years and years of experience in this. For example, I have a client who's a lawyer and she's like, I'm smart. I should know this. I'm like, I'm smart too, but I don't know how to be a lawyer.
That's right.
You know, so if you want to teach me how to be a lawyer, let's go. But I can teach you how to manage your finances.
That's right. 100%. You know, you said, go back to your story about the suppression. Correct me if I'm saying this wrong, but the suppression of wanting to go out and do your own thing kind of manifested itself in this overspending. One of the things I've been thinking a lot about, and we've been talking on the show, is this is so messy, but hopefully you understand what I'm saying. The thing that we think is the thing is not normally the thing.
Yeah, I totally get that.
You know what I'm saying? So I think I have an issue with overspending or, you know, this or that. But sometimes there's like this underlying thing, which is really the thing. In your case, it was the suppression of like your calling or this desire to move into this space. When you're working with all these business owners and entrepreneurs, have you seen like a few reoccurring real things that's really underneath all of these issues with money?
Absolutely. Everybody has a money story. And what I've learned from my clients, and you can read about it too, the literature there is everywhere. Your money story generally starts in your childhood.
Oh boy, yeah, here we go.
Yep.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah. You know, and even I noticed when I started in business, I had some money issues carried on from my parents that I didn't realize.
Oh yeah. You know,
and I had to work through those as well. So people who say that they don't have any money issues or money mindset issues or whatever, I think generally they believe that. But when you're put in a position, especially as an entrepreneur, because we all know becoming an entrepreneur, it makes us very vulnerable. We're exposing so much of ourselves. And that's generally when most people start realizing, geez, I do have some money issues that I need to get a handle of. And you think it's because you don't know how to manage money, but that's just the symptom, because the underlying issue could be that your parents thought a lot about money when you were a kid. So you learned that money should always be mismanaged or be angry about money or whatever the issues are. But everybody has their own story.
Yeah. Amen. When you sit down with someone, like let's say first 5 years of business, maybe we have a couple of VAs, you know, we're doing okay. We don't have like a big team and it's a good business. It's a living. If you're to sit down with those business owners, what are some of the common things that you've seen these business owners not looking at in their finances or paying attention to that they should be?
The profit. And I hear this a lot. Like, I don't know if you hear the noise online where, you know, there's some influencers that are talking about, yeah, I've got a seven figure business. Or, you know, I had this great launch. It brought me in seven figures. All I can think about when I hear this is, you know, sales are fantastic. And yeah, that's great that you're making these great sales. But tell me how much profit you're making.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reality of it is you can be making, you know, these large amounts of sales per year.
Yep.
But if you're not looking at what's going on in your business, chances are you're spending more than what you're bringing in.
Yeah.
And I have seen this time and time again. I mean, don't forget, I've got over 20 years of experience working with all kinds of businesses. And I have even seen multiple seven-figure businesses go under because they didn't manage their money.
Wow.
Financial mismanagement is one of the top reasons why businesses fail.
Wow.
So when I work with people, the common theme I get is, because my program that I work with is 8 weeks. And everybody has said to me, this is going to take me longer than 8 weeks. I know I can't do this. And it always gets done in 8 weeks. And then the second thing is they're not managing their money within their business.
So what do you do in those 8 weeks? Like, what are some of the things that you look at and break down? So
we look at their business specifically and we break it down and say, okay, let's look at how much, first of all, teach them how to read their financial reports. And then, you know, understanding the three different types of reports and the components of them. And then the most important step I teach is creating a budget. So you look at what you've done in the past and you create a budget going forward saying, okay, these are my sales goals. This is what I want to make throughout the year. And we're going to take a plan and get you there financially. So then you're going to work through, okay, let's just say for simplicity, you want to make $100,000 in a year. We're going to build that out and we're going to break down the expenses. How much is it going to cost you
to make
that $100,000 a year? And how much are you going to pay yourself? Because you have to pay yourself to get that, you know, your personal expenses covered and make sure that you're paying yourself enough. And then at the end, you know, mostly when we work through these exercises, people are like, I don't have enough money. And it's like, you're right, you don't. So you have to make some adjustments in there.
Yeah.
So we get the budget all nailed out to go forward. And then the third step is to monitor your progress against this budget. So you've created a plan for how many sales you want to bring in. So you monitor how many sales you brought in and we break it down month by month. And then you understand what went right, what went wrong. You're not looking at it at the end of the year after everything's done, you know, and you're saying, oh, I didn't meet my objectives. You're looking at it month per month and you're changing things as you go because your numbers don't lie to you. They're telling you a story. And if you're not paying attention, they can't help you. So when you know what's going on, you can say, okay, I spent too much on advertising here because those dollars didn't bring in the revenue I thought it would. You know, so you make those changes so that you can be the most profitable you can be because every business needs to be profitable to stay in business long term. And then once you get through that, you know, that step of the third step of monitoring, the fourth step is doing the cash management because cash is king. If you don't have the cash coming in, if you can't cover your bills, that business is going to be at risk and it's going to shut down quickly. So we come up with a plan. You're always looking 6 to 8 weeks forward saying, okay, I know I have this money coming in. I know this money has to go out. Plan B, if this money doesn't come in, this is what's going to happen. You know, and you plan,
yeah,
you plan everything out so that there's no surprises. And at the end of these four steps, you feel so much confidence in your business. You can sleep better at night. All those money stresses, they literally go away. I mean, you know that there's going to be problems that come up, but you're going to be
prepared
in control.
For it.
Exactly. You're prepared for it. You know what to do and you've got a plan to do it. So that's what I work through people, entrepreneurs for the 8 weeks.
I have like 45 questions there. There's a few minutes left. Okay. Are there some things that you see that first 5 year small businesses are spending too much money on consistently? Like, have you seen any patterns where you're like, people are always spending so much money in this area? Or is that situational?
Yeah, it's definitely situational because I work with all types of businesses from, sure, you know, brick and mortar to service-based businesses, but definitely online businesses tend to spend a lot of money on courses.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a big industry and there's a lot of
courses. And they don't even go through them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or if they pay a pretty penny for them, the course doesn't deliver. Like, the course industry is kind of crazy right now. And my advice to that is, you know, actually, I'm going to steal advice from a friend of mine who said when she works with clients, she's a marketer. She says the first two things she tells clients to invest in is marketing and knowing your business numbers.
Wow.
And it's so true because you need the sales to come in, but you also need to know your numbers.
Yep.
So if you're not managing the money that's coming in the door, then you're going to be in trouble.
Yep.
And then you work through what you can afford. If you want to take a course, great, but you need to be able to afford it. Into debt learning everything out there because you don't need to learn everything at once.
Yeah. We know it's also difficult about all this is when you haven't really built out that predictability in your cash flow and, you know, the sales and all of that, sometimes you kill it 1 month and then you're like beans and cornbread the next. You know what I mean? Like, is there such a fluctuation within entrepreneurship? And so what's the best way to kind of manage like the ups and downs of, you know, this week's balling and next week it's like month,
absolutely,
you know what I mean?
And that's why you need to work out your personal budget, make sure that you know exactly what you need to get by every month and you incorporate that into your salary. So anything extra, any profit that you've made in your business, you keep in your business.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But you still have money to pay yourself throughout the year. So just because you made, let's say, $100,000 in 1 month, doesn't mean you get to spend $100,000.
Yeah.
You know, you've allotted that amount and hopefully it's going to be like, you know, between $5,000 and $10,000 to pay yourself.
Yep.
And that extra money is going to go towards paying other bills or whatever, but it's going to be there when times get slim.
Yep. 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 So, okay. I'm just going to shoot to you straight, Melissa. Like, I 100% agree with you on everything that you're saying. And I think everybody listening can. What creatives get tripped up on, okay, very creative, multi-passionate, there's a little shiny object in the back, you know what I mean? Like, it's, there's almost this negative connotation when we start thinking about planning and budgeting and spreadsheets and keeping ourselves in track and all of that, where it almost, and I'm just going to talk plain, it almost seems boring. And it's like, I don't want to do this. It's like, making your bed when you're a kid. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, we know we need to put up our big girl panties and just do the thing. But getting past just the mental barrier of like, this is something that you need to do for long-term success, even though it may not seem sexy right now to do. How do we get past some of those really just negative behavioral patterns where we, you know, 3 months go by and we haven't even looked at this?
Yeah. And, you know, like I really try to invoke enthusiasm about money with my clients because, you know, it is fun and money is sexy. The budgeting part.
That's my tweet for this.
The budgeting part, you know, it can feel constraining, but it's not. It's building your wealth.
Come on.
Your wealth is your money. And that is what is empowering. That's the stuff that you get to use to, you know, spend and play with. And, you know, when you can afford it, you can buy the fancy cars or the whatever. This is the excitement. This is what you're working towards. Mm. And there's no shame in wanting things. It's just, if you can't afford to buy what you want, you have to work at it. And then
it
becomes a stressless purchase when you can afford it.
Yeah. This is a mental health conversation, y'all. Like everybody's been talking about mental health. I mean, this is a mental health conversation. We're talking about the stress and anxiety, the depression, people wanting to take their lives because of stuff like this down the road. I mean, this is a big, big issue. When do we know, and we'll be wrapping up here in a second, talk to you all the time. When do we know that, we need to hire a professional like you? Like at what point in our business do we need like that consultation? What resources should we be looking for? Because, you know, the truth is we all do need some help, right?
Yeah.
Like, unless we grew up learning about this stuff, like where do we go for that? And how do we know that it's time to like call Melissa and it's time?
Yeah. My opinion is you need it right from the beginning. These are skill set. Like if you want to grow and scale your business, you need to make sure you've got your financial foundation in place right from the beginning.
Yep.
You've been in business for a couple of years and I'm asking you, do you know how much money you're making? And you're like, no, you need to call, you know? Like if you like your money management is probably one of the most important skills to have in business. And the return on that investment, it's crazy because if you think about how much money you can save just in a month, think about how many years or months and years of business you have ahead of you that you're going to be saving this money over and over again. That's just multiplies and multiplies. So it's never too late and it's never too early.
Amen. Amen. I have a couple more questions left for you. And in a minute, we're going to find out maybe, you know, where we could learn more about you and, you know, what resources you have available. But kind of stepping back a little bit into just Melissa as the leader, the unconventional leader, the one who's decided to make really scary shifts in her own life. You're not just telling people to do things you haven't done yourself and leaning into the uncomfortable, going against the grain. If you were to look back over your life, we have this segment called Unsung Hero about people who've made a difference in your life, who spoke something to you, who said something to you that really shifted, you know, your course, your internal course. And it's not somebody famous. We don't want to go the famous route. Nothing wrong with famous people, but someone who maybe is unknown, an unsung hero in your life. Looking back over your career, your entrepreneurial journey, is there a moment or someone who did or said something to you that meant a lot that you would say is your unsung hero?
Yeah, absolutely. There was a coworker of mine when I was first starting out, and his name was Al Tremblay. And he said to me, if someone tells you no, don't stop. Knock on another door and keep knocking until you hear yes.
I love that. Where can people connect with you online and what resources do you have available for them?
I can be found at melissahoustoncpa.com. And you can download my free 4-step roadmap to biz finance freedom. And that outlines the 4 steps that we discussed earlier in the show as well. And it gives you more details on how you can get your business finances in order.
Do you, and it's kind of a sad thing, do you have to, I know some concerns too, can you start off with normal just Google spreadsheets doing this stuff? Or do you have to invest in it software when you want to get your finances together? What's your recommendation with that?
Oh, you can absolutely do it with Google spreadsheets or, you know, Excel templates, whatever. It's you can find templates all over the internet for that for free. Easily. And I encourage you, you know, map out what are you earning and what are you spending? Yep. And if you're spending more than what you're bringing in, you need to stop that.
You need to address it. It'll change your life, friends. All of that will be linked in the show notes for our last question. Melissa, you're so cool. I love your style. I love your podcast. I'm going to link that up too. We didn't mention that. Thanks for showing up in the world, giving your story, being vulnerable, being real. We need more of this in the world. So thank you for your time and also the work that you're doing. Let's go back in time. This woman, she was an accountant. She's like, I really want to go into business for myself, but there was such resistance there. She started these spending habits and was probably just dealing with so much guilt, so much shame, probably overwhelmed, not knowing how she would ever even dig out of this, hadn't faced her husband yet, hadn't launched and did her thing, started her podcast, done all these incredible things that you've done over this past year. If you're just going to sit with her for a moment in that turmoil, in that frustration, and tell her one thing that you know now that she did not know back then, what would that be?
Feel the fear and do it anyways.
Wasn't she the coolest? I absolutely loved her. One of the things that I love that she said when she was sharing her story about how she found herself in $100,000 worth of debt, she said, you know what? I worked in finances. I knew better. And it still happened to me. First of all, how powerful is that, that she shares that? That's leadership. But also, too, it releases us that no matter where you're at right now with your finances and your business or pick whatever topic, if you feel like you're a little bit behind, if you feel frustrated, there's no shame in that, right? It's never too late. It's never too early. You can get your money together. You can get your mindset together. Things can change. There is hope. Praise the Lord. Anybody in the back today? I hope that encouraged you as much as it encouraged me. Again, connect with Melissa. All her links and everything she referenced is in the show notes. But before we leave, I want to hear from you. Is there a topic that you think is super important to unconventional leaders that you would like to see us address? All you got to do is text this number, 501-214-4307. I would love to hear your suggestions. Again, that is 501-214-4307. I love you with my whole heart. I'm in your corner. See you soon.